thorns down just in case.
Thank you, Corey. He is preventing from accidents. He does a good job. Happy New Year.
It
was nice to come in this day and have the Lord's Supper. Before that Mexico team went to Mexico, I want to be sure. And I called Jay and I said, Jay, don't forget that we have the Lord's Supper and you are in charge. And it's amazing sometimes. It's nice to work in team, isn't it? And everything goes well. Well, Pastor Jim, before that he left, he asked me, he says, could you preach on prayer? And it was not my choice, but I have to do it in obedience to our pastor. And Corey read a nice passage about the Pharisees, but I want to touch a little bit before in the chapter 18. If you open your Bible, you will see a person that with a great need. And who doesn't have a need? We all have need, don't we? And that's why we pray. That's why we come to God in prayer. And we open up ourselves to Him and say, God, I am a needy person. Will you help me? And we cried out. And amazingly, God responds. God, it's amazing that Jesus began and says in the verse 1, he says, and then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I was pondering on that. You say, why God didn't tell women to pray? Women are more kind of willing to do that. Isn't it? It's rude. They stand up more fast. Men, somehow, we drag our legs. It's too hard. And sometimes we're trying to pass on to somebody else. And God over here says, men ought to pray. They have to stand up. And the Bible is showing us clearly that there were men who stood for their families because they saw that their families have a need. And one of them was Job. You remember Job from the Bible? The Bible says so clearly that he was getting up early in the morning. Chapter 1, the verse 5 says, and it came about when the days of feasting had completed their circle, that Job would send and consecrate them, it's mean their children, raising up early in the morning and offering burnt offering according to them all. Early in the morning, he will stand in the gap for his children. Why? Because he loved them. He had teenagers just the same way as you did. And bless your heart if you have a teenager. That's hard to deal, isn't it? We have to ask moms and dads sometime. It's not an easy task. But he stood up. Says after the circle has been completed, he will consecrate them. He will get them together. He will try to bring them back to God. And what he did, he raised up early in the morning and stood and the gap for them. Jesus speaks and says, men ought to always to be in prayer. And he brings an illustration about a widow. About a widow who had a need. A widow who had a need that we don't know what kind of need she had. But she knew somebody who was able to help him. I mean her. And was an unjust judge who really been boasting. He says, I don't fear God and I have no regard for people. And she just pointed on him and she was day after day at his door, knocking at the door and say, help me. I needed that help. Till one day came a time when he was just almost wore out. And he just confessed and says, you know what? I don't fear God. I don't regard men. But I have to do something for this widow. He was moved. He was moved to do something. And the Bible says that he says, he did it to justice. And look at the verse 7. God speaks from heaven and he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night? Will God not answer those who are crying to him day and night? Look at what it says further. Even if he will delay, but he will come with the answer. I want to tell you, brother, cry out as loud as you can, and your voices will be heard in heaven. Amen? Amen. Cry out as loud as you can. God, ears open, and he will answer your prayer. Because he loves you. And because you are a child of his, and he desires the best, because he's a good father. He's a father who cares, a father who provides, a father who knows your need, even before that you ask. One time, the Israelites been in with war with the Philistines, always been. Amazingly, when you open and you begin to realize how those Philistines been after the Israelites. And Samuel, as Saul and David and the rest of the king, they always had at wars with them. And one time the Israelites been fighting, and Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7, the verse 8 says, and the sons of Israel came to Samuel, and they were telling him, do not cease to cry out for the God for us. They are almost getting us. Stand in the gap for us. Cry out. Tell God that we need his strength because we have to defeat our enemies. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I shall answer you and show you a mighty and great things that you do not know about God. Call! God is opening the door that you may call on him and says, I shall answer you. And I will teach you great things that you do not know. I remember one night We were quite deep sleeping 2 years, more than 2 years ago. During the night wake up, one telephone called us. It was our son from San Francisco. When our daughter-in-law being pregnant, almost time to deliver Jamie, she contracted meningitis and she was rushed to the hospital. And our son called us and says, "Pop, please stand up in prayer. Because our, not only my wife, but our child is in danger. We never know what could happen." And I remember Dina and I, we went on our knees. And we stood, I don't know how long, till we get the back of the call after hours standing in the gap. And he says, he told us the story, what goes on. But in the before that he called, God just brought some deep peace to our heart. That I knew that everything will be okay. I answered the phone and I told my son, I said, "Son, God just answered prayer. Everything will be okay. Get your rest." And you know what? Jamie, today have it. Almost 2 years and a half. He's just outstanding. He had absolutely nothing did affect him. He's well healthy. Amen? God needs you to stand for your family because your family needs you. Jesus says, look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then the verse 29 says, "Learn from me." God is there to teach us how to pray, how to stand, how to be in that gap. Even when sometimes it's hard. Somebody was telling me some time ago, he says, "Steve, the prayer is hard." It is hard to pray. It is hard. It's not an easy task. But we have to stand. We have to determine. Sometime God wakes me up at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock at midnight. In obedience to God's word, we must do it. Must do it. Jacob had a problem. He just left his father-in-law, and you remember when he fled, you know the whole history about Jacob. When he served for his wife, two wives, and the herds, 21 years. He was like a slave in his father-in-law's house. And then finally God told him that he's supposed to go home. And he was not in peace at home either. Here is somebody there. Here is an issue. Back home with Esau. You remember? Esau was having something terrible with him. And now with his father-in-law. And then they left After 4 days, his father-in-law find out and run after him till the mountain of Gilgal. And they settled the problem there, because God appeared to Laban and say, do not be harsh with Jacob. God intercede. God spoke to Laban. And they settled the problem there. I like that story. I don't know if you like. I like that story. When he settled the problem, says when Laban went to his home and Jacob took his way, the angels of God appeared to Jacob. Do you remember that story? He saw angels of God been welcoming him. But his brother was still there. When he get to close to the river, he sent a delegation telling, your servant Jacob is coming back. Your servant Jacob. And once Esau heard the story, he took 400 men and was coming to Jacob. You never know, and I never knew what went across his mind. 400 men coming together with Esau. The Bible says that he stood on the, his family passed over the brook, and he stood on the other side and been in prayer with God, wrestling with God. We never know what he told. He says, God, he's coming with 400 men. He's going to wipe out us all here. It's amazingly when he sent the gifts and all kind of other things to bring a little bit more peace to the heart of Esau. And maybe he did, I don't know. But later on, when he comes closer, and then Esau comes, and they embrace and kiss each one of them. Look at what Jacob says to Esau. In Genesis 32, verse 24, and then Jacob, 33, and verse 10 says, I see, he says to Esau, seeing you is just seeing is a face of God. What happened? God changed the heart of Esau. God turned around his heart. And he says, you receive me favorably. Now you're welcome me back home. You know, only God can do that. The Bible says, even if the just man pleases the Lord, even his enemies, he puts in peace with him. That's God's promise for you. Even your enemies will be in peace. God is the one who works in the heart. You know the prayers. First of all, changing us first. And then we'll change those who are surrounding us. Jacob fought the whole night. And that prayer changed Jacob. And then made an effect on his brother the same way. Elisha. It's another illustration that we have in the Bible. In James, it's telling us about Elisha, and he says, Elisha was a man with natures like ours. You know, we see him a giant in the Bible. And we think, wow, Elisha, fire came down from heaven. He stood before all these people. But the Bible says that he was just like you and me. You know what? Fearful men. We fear, don't we? We fear. And Elisha was fearing the same way. We're just men, natural men like we are, all of us. But he prayed fervently. And you know what happened? The Bible says that when he prayed fervently, he walked out to the desert for 3.5 years. There was no rain. Ahab looked around him all over the kingdoms. He couldn't find where he was. And he came back, and the Bible says that Elisha prayed again, and the skies poured rain, and the earth produced the fruits and bring the blessings. God, what was happening was a prayer that touched God's heart. Corey read the last part. And Jesus is telling us again, the second, he says, do not pray like there. Do not pray like Pharisee. He came up with a show. God, I am so good. God, I am deserving. I work for. I am giving. I am helping people. I am that. And then he brings an illustration about another man who cried out to God. When he came, he don't want it even look to God. The Bible says he didn't raise his eyes up. He looked down. He was so distressed. He was so broken. That only he knew cry only one prayer. He says, God, I am a needy man. I am dying without you. Help. And the Bible says so clearly that there's one who prayed, didn't preach to God, but he prayed a simple prayer. He went home. And he had the answer that he was looking for. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says this way, but when you pray, go into the inner room, and when you shut down the door, pray to your Father who is in heaven. Secretly, and your Father who been seeing you secretly will reveal you openly. A good friend of ours, Larry Adams, for years we know Larry. One time he was speaking to the pastors and he said this way. He says, if you want to hear God, you better get into that closet. And don't get out till you hear from him. This is what it is. Don't get out till you hear from God. And what's enough for me? God expects that we come to him alone. You know, we're asking many times to pray, somebody pray. It's nothing wrong with that. You could ask. But there's something happening when you are just you and God. Just you. Just you. You will enjoy just you and God. Everything is quiet during the night. Just you and God. And you know why God wants you alone? Because He wanted to develop a relationship with you. If something, He doesn't want it to hear just only you talking. You will allow God speaking in that quiet night to you. You're going to sit and you're going to hear God speaking to you in that quietness of the night. First of all, because tells us, you know, when we look in the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see Jesus Christ praying in the public very shortly. Very shortly. Just a couple words to the Heavenly Father. But look at in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6 verse 12. Open up your Bible. And look at what happened with Jesus. He says, now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to His Father. He went out. He spent the whole night praying. And next day was a normal day. He didn't sleep that night. You have to go out and heal and feed the people and do the work that the Father sent him to do that. Because he was a man like you and I. He was in this physical body which gets tired. And we need rest, don't we? And the night, during the night, that's when we rest. But Jesus spent the whole night praying. And he went tired to minister. And the full day of work that was before him. Secondly, why God wants you to pray in secret? Because he wanted to teach you how to love him. In the Gospel of John, in the chapter 15, and the verse 23, Jesus is telling this way. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And look at what happened. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. You can imagine? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will come to live with you. Don't you like to have them? And he will teach you how to love him, to love God. Because we don't know how to love God. We think we know, but we don't. And he would teach us how to love him, how to express him, how to listen to him. Fourthly, you know why God wants you alone? Because he wants to promote his agenda, not yours. God have an agenda too, as you do. But he wants to promote his agenda in your life. And that's why God wanted you to, that you may learn from him as a good father. Paul, it's in Lystra, in Acts 14:17, he's speaking to the people. He just healed a crippled man that couldn't walk from his birth. And he came and he saw that man that had a faith, and he looks on him and he told him, get up and walk. And this man stood and walked. And then the people who saw the great miracle, they thought that God came from heaven. They were telling, screaming in Lystra. And Paul says, no. We are normal people just like you. We're normal people. They wanted to worship them. They call Paul Hermes. And Barnabas they call Zeus. They want to worship him. Paul says, no. We're just people like you. And look at what he says. In the verse 17 in chapter 14, he says this way. And he, it's mean God, did not live himself without witness. He's speaking, he's preaching, he's telling them, God really made known himself to you. And look at what he says. And he did good and gave you the rain from heaven and the fruitful seasons, satisfying your heart with food and gladness. And you know why God does this way, even for the pagans? Because he loves the whole world of people. He loves people. It's one of his holy attributes of God. Because God is love. Amen? He's not that he was. He is. He always been. He's good, God. And then James, again, chapter 1, the verse 17 says, and every good gift comes from above, and cometh down from the fathers of light, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of truth. Because God is good. And he demonstrates himself in his goodness. It's always up front. But in the same time, God wants you and me to worship him because he's a holy God. Amen? He's a holy God. He is God. And we must learn to come to him with reverence. With reverence. He's a holy God. And as Jesus is teaching us in the chapter 6 of Matthew, and he says, the first way we come to him, our Father who art in heaven. You must come to him in the worship spirit. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking with the Samaritan woman. And that woman right away, she just pointed out. He says, you know what? You Jews are telling us that the only place of worship is Jerusalem. But we do Samaritans, we do a little bit different. We're worshiping on this mountain. And they developed a dialogue between Jesus and the woman about worshiping. And Jesus right away is telling, you know what? Time of worshiping, it's now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father, not either in Jerusalem, not even in this mountain, but they will worship in spirit and truth. Because God is spirit. And he's seeking for the worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. God is seeking today, looking for those who will humble themselves and worship in that spirit. And then he says, Father, he says, hallowed be thy name. God is holy. His name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Because God must be worship in spirit and truth. And then farther he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It is this in heaven. God wants to change your perspective of, that you may see from the point of spiritual way. What does happen that we only are so down to earth that we see only what is surrounding us. We are not seeing beyond that. God wants you to pray about his kingdom because he is king and he will establish his kingdom on this earth. And you and I, we will have a privilege to be in that kingdom. The church is praying over 2,000 years now already that thy kingdom come. And the Bible says, blessed and holy is he who have a part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death they have no power. And they shall be priests to God and Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Are you looking for that kingdom? I am looking for that kingdom. I don't know how you think, but I really believe. But you know what? I believe that Jesus is king. He wanted to rule your life now. His kingdom begins now in your heart. Don't you know that? Because he's king. The problem with us many times, instead giving to Jesus, merely rule my life, we are running. And look at what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I want you to open that passage. Galatians 2:20. Paul is telling us something that we have to do. Look at Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And as the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Listen, I am not sitting behind the steering wheel. I surrendered all my rights to Jesus. He is the one who rules my life, who reigns in my heart. Listen, and he takes me across the maze of this world because he knows the destiny. Amen. You and I, we live in a maze of this world. It's so crooked, so much problems that we don't know which way to turn. Only God, God lead us to victory day after day. And let's rejoice with him because he does have the answer for our life. May God help us that we may continue to trust him. And the Bible says, trust God from all your heart. Listen to this. Trust the Lord from all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct your steps. God wanted to sit behind the steering wheel. And you must sit in the back seat. And please don't tell God which way to go. allowed him to direct your life. Many times we are not shutting our mouth and we get in trouble. We have to let God run our life, and you will have peace in heart, and your prayers will be answered. Look at the last verse that I want to give it to you. You keep in perfect peace him who set, my wife have to help me, my stage upon him. Trust the Lord always. Let's pray. God, help us to be submissive to your will. Thy will be done in our life, because only you can guide us through this maze of the world. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to remain in course with you. We need you, and our family needs us, you, as never before. We ask you that you may guide us. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand for praise, Mike?
To follow Jesus has decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me. Turning back.
Amen.
Amen.
And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his presence with exceedingly joy, to God our Father, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, for now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.